This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut?
I resign.
We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad?
I was so wrong.
Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report Podcast is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday the 13th here at Gillette Stadium. And yes, the open to the season has been a bit of a nightmare for the passing game in New England. But that's a different tale to be told on PFW in Progress on Tuesday. This is another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast where we break down all the moves that the team is making early in the season, and they continue to bounce around the bottom of the roster and make some changes. Paul Perillo and I am Andy Hart here to talk about you. Nope, to talk about those moves, not you. You're just the listener. We appreciate you downloading the podcast.
Might be time to do some work on the top of the roster.
Ouch.
I'm kidding.
Brady, got to go?
Oh, shut up.
The top of the roster.
I'm kidding. Was the last part of that little sarcastic jab.
So again, as we always do, we'll just kind of recap all the moves, and then we'll discuss them after we go over it. Starting, I just want to make sure we get this one in. James Devlin was re-signed on September 6th. He was one of the guys that was bounced around a little bit last week in the first week of the season. He is indeed on the roster and is actually getting some run in the fullback position, which I like to see, bringing that position back. We're bringing fullbacks back. Patriots claimed defensive tackle Chris Jones on September 12th off of waivers from Tampa Bay. That was 2 days after they made a flurry of moves because in the opener, dealing with some injuries in Buffalo Bills, not only did Danny Amendola have a groin issue that forced him out of action this Thursday night's win over the Jets, but Shane Vereen suffered a reported wrist injury that required surgery a day later. He has been placed on injured reserve with a designation to return. So he is absent from the team for 8 weeks, although there's technically a bye week that's going to be there at the end, so it's going to be kind of 9 weeks before he can return in Carolina if he is healthy to do so at that point. That same day, the Patriots re-signed tight end Matthew Mulligan to the roster, re-signed A.J. Francis to the practice squad, the defensive lineman, and released Quentin Sims, who I know some fans kind of had a affinity for after his late preseason heroics in air quotes with Tim Tebow. But they made those moves on the 10th. As I said, the 12th, the team claimed Chris Jones from Tampa Bay and released Josh Klein. Actually, the second time they had claimed Jones. They had tried to get him previously when he ended up with Tampa Bay from
Houston.
So they added some depth to the defensive line there. He was inactive for his first game in New England Thursday night against the Jets.
But another big interior lineman gives you a little bit of depth there. They really only have Joe Villano behind Will Fork. He's played well, by the way.
And every time I
think
Matt Light.
We'll save that for another time.
Every time I think Matt Light's playing defensive line, number 72, Joe Villano. And finally, today, Friday the 13th, the Patriots signed Josh Klein, who I just mentioned was released from the roster, to the practice squad and released R.J. Dill, the pickle man, from the practice squad. Paul, obviously, sort of the biggest issue here for this week was the injuries. And, you know, we didn't see Gronkowski in week two against the Jets here. We didn't see Danny Amendola, and we can't see Shane Vereen for 8 weeks.
Right.
And the offense is sputtering a little bit. And how big a blow is the Vereen issue? You know, it's obviously the roster issue we're dealing with here to this team and this attack.
I know it's strange, but I don't think the Vereen aspect of the injuries has gotten nearly enough play. I think that's an enormous loss for the team. You and I understandably are, apologists for Shane Vereen.
Uncomfortably infatuated with Shane Vereen.
We both love all the different things that he can do. I think we saw a lot of that in the opener. I just think that he's a guy that the stuff that he can do makes it easy for a transitioning offense to sort of find a little bit of a security blanket, a safety valve, and I think that's what you're missing right now. That's all you had last night against the Jets was Julian Edelman in those kind of roles, and you didn't have anybody else to provide anything else. So I think the Vereen injury is a big one, and they're searching for some answers, no doubt.
And we saw Leon Washington get some opportunities as that sort of third down back, limited.
Not as many as I thought. Maybe that thigh injury is a little bit more serious than we thought.
Been listed with a thigh injury. And I did want to go over that a little bit just because of the Amendola injury, which has gotten some run. A report on NFL Network really cleared things up by saying he's going to miss 2 to 6 weeks, which is a nice Nice window, really narrowing it
down. He could be back tomorrow or by the start of training camp next year.
Right.
Which is basically the same thing.
Nice report. But he, because of the Vereen issue, if, say, it were a 6 weeks, maybe they would have considered the IR with designation for, to return for him. But that obviously goes out the window with Vereen using that designation. The inactives for the Jets game, Bolden, Sudfeld, a hamstring injury, Boharnes, Svitek, all injuries, Amendola, Gronkowski, and as I said, Chris Jones, healthy but new to the team. I want to talk quickly about the guys who didn't play. Now, there's been some question as to whether Josh Boye played a single snap or not. Almost irrelevant whether he did or did not actually step on the field. What do you
officially
make...
the game book says he did not. We
did not. And
that.
Mike Reese, who's pretty good at these things too,
probably better than the officials right. who keep track of this stuff,
says he played a snap. But who cares? He wasn't a part of the offense, Paul. In a week when you were down some weapons, you were down an Amendola, and maybe we're looking for different ways to do things. It was mostly Dobkins and Tompkins on the field with Julian Edelman.
Dobkins.
Is that what I said?
I didn't know if you were doing it on purpose or not.
Blend them together. Throw them a lot of balls. Don't get a lot of results.
Brangelina.
Is this a bad sign for Josh Boye, week two, to just be sitting on the bench?
I'm going to reserve judgment on that one. I don't generally do that. I don't play the gray area all that often. But, you know, he was a part of the game plan in the first game.
He wasn't 0 for 2, right? Two targets, no catches.
Yeah, but he played, you know, I think Mike had him down for 15 snaps in that game. He was not a part of the game plan at all in this one. Dobson didn't play in that first game. So now, in retrospect, do you say that's the only reason why Boye got those 15 snaps? Or was there something about the Bills as opposed to the Jets that lent, you know, I actually asked Bill, we had a press conference today at the stadium, and I asked Bill about Boye specifically because I thought that given the way they tried to attack New York and the way that New York clearly defended the Patriots, trying to get a lot of guys at or around the line of scrimmage, I thought Boye would have made sense, you know, slip him behind the coverage and see if you can get a big play out of it, but he didn't get any chances to do that. Bill didn't really... didn't really elaborate when I asked them about it. Just said, you know, I mean, I asked if it was game plan or just kind of the way it worked out, and he said it was more the latter. It's kind of the way the game unfolded. It wasn't necessarily part of the plan not to get him any run, but that's the way it worked out. So I'm not sure what it means for Boye specifically. We'll see in the next game or two if maybe it changes and it's strictly a game plan thing, or maybe, you know, this week Boye didn't have a great week, you know, in preparation.
And as the team continues to tinker with the bottom of the roster, Andre Carter was brought in this week for a reported workout, and that leads me to Jake Beckett, who did not play against the Jets in week two. Michael Buchanan did play, actually had the Patriots' first sack of the year as a extra rusher and a defensive end. What's the path we're going down here with Jake Beckett, year two, all those healthy scratches a year ago and now DNP, CD?
You know, is he strictly an insurance policy at this point?
Certainly feels like it, right?
Yeah. Buchanan's a guy who's flashed a little. I'd like to tell you that Beckett hasn't done it, but, you know, Beckett has never really gotten chances to flash. Now, does that, you know,
hasn't he earned the chances?
Earned them? You know, who knows? You know, Bill knows what's going on in the practices, and we don't. But, yeah, I mean, I think right now Jake Beckett is probably close to number 53. You know, he plays a position where he's allowed to be active now based on the lack of depth that you have at some of those spots. But, and you and I have talked about this, really low number of individual players recording tackles in each of the first two games now for the Patriots. That's sort of atypical to what New England usually has. They usually employ a lot of different players on defense. So far in two games, they haven't done that, and Beckett hasn't gotten any chances.
But we're always here to talk about the guys who we think are anywhere near the bottom of the roster, and usually those guys pop up because they're coming or they're going to the practice squad, or if they bring in a veteran, guy like Andre Carter, maybe Beckett could be in trouble. Who knows? Some people thought he was in trouble this summer.
If they signed somebody like Carter, yes, a guy like Beckett would be in trouble.
The story of the week in terms of the Patriots roster was about injuries. Danny Amendola has a bad groin. Shane Vereen ended up with... on injured reserve with the designation to return, and many fans are clamoring for the team to go after a veteran receiver. There was a report they've had contact with Brandon Lloyd, but he has no interest in mentally or physically playing right now. All those moves and more will be here each and every week to update you on them, including next Friday when we will have a little more energy because we'll have had more sleep than we had today after last night's scintillating 13-10 Patriots win over the Jets to move to 2-0 on the season. The weekend off here in New England, the PFW boys are going to enjoy it. For Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart. This is another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast. Peace out.
This has been the New England Patriots Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team, only on Patriots.com.